Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see everybody here and all our gallery of visitors. We're glad to have all of you here as well. Starting this time, I'd like to pass out a written report or an outline of things that we'll be talking about from Ministerial Services, so it has a little bit more form and shape of items that we discuss. A couple of things so that I won't spend a lot of time on, but they are of special interest, are statistics and general trends of the ministry and the membership. If you take a look at page one, and I won't go through all the statistics because you can review them yourself, but the trends are what are special interest to us, and we have been very encouraged by the trends that we have had in attendance and the rebuilding of the ministry. We have actually been going through a very exciting time in Ministerial Member Services, in that it's a rebuilding phase. And from those who have gone through wars or have gone through times when there's been destruction and it looks difficult and hopeless, if it is a fire or if there's some natural disaster, there's always the phase of rebuilding. And it's a very encouraging phase of being able to move forward and be hopeful of things being restored and being better than they were before they were restored. The total number of elders now in the whole world is 334. And the trends, the latest trend that I have here is from the last conference. The last conference was in August. That's the second column. The first column is the statistics that we have up to as the end of the month of November. We have 12 more elders than we did in August. In the U.S., we have 264 elders. That's a net gain of 10. And the number of elders internationally is 70, net gain of 2. We have 82 total pastors in the United States, net gain of 2. We still need to add a few more pastors and a number of holes that we have to fill in the United States. In the U.S., we have 70 full-time salaried and 6 who are part-time. We have ordained 36 people since the 1st of January, 36 ordinations. So that's been very, very exciting. New people have bubbled to the surface, have been noticed, and we are so pleased with the performance of our new elders overall. Mm. We have 196 churches in the United States, 98 baptisms, which is a little bit low, but it's about tracks with what decreases that we have had overall. We have tended to have about 150 baptisms a year. We're probably going to end up a little bit more with just a little over 100 this year, which tracks again with what statistics that we've had. I have listed the new ordinations here that we have had since the last meeting. These are the 16 new ones since our last Council of Elders meeting. I had 3 disassociations that you can read about. We had one elder die, Doug Bossart from the Bay Area, a longtime elder. And we have added one new Bible study, this Squim Washington Bible Study. On page 3, we have statistics that I am always looking to every month to see what the trend is in attendance. And believe me, after January, when the big division occurred, we had, of course, the big drop-off in attendance. And then we were wondering from month to month, well, what are the numbers? What is a trend? And if they go down by 100, then we'd be concerned, well, is it going to go down by another 100 the next month and another 100? So we were just very, very concerned. In the months of February through August, it was up and down. But the last several months, we have had very, very good increases. And I might just say, too, that these numbers are totally without the addition of any Kingdom of God seminar attendance. So we're not inflating them with Kingdom of God seminar attendees. These are strictly the numbers from the regular attendances that we have had from our monthly reports. And we were most encouraged by the jump in attendance for the October report, and then November figures, of course, are coming in at this time. But our average attendance now is 7621 for the month of October, and we have just been very, very pleased with that particular trend. News of interest, there are 2 items that I did not include, which I should have. And I'm glad that Danny spoke about women's services. They have added really a special brightness to our floor. They are in the room that was kind of an overflow room where we store anointing bottles and forms and all kinds of things. They've covered that up with a real nice sheet and so forth. And it's a very nice, pleasant place to pass by. When I go get coffee, I'd like to take a little peek into that office. It's just very, very pleasant what Leanne and Lisa Fenchel have done. But I'm very thankful for Denny's report on women's services that works with ministerial services. I failed to note Kingdom of God Bible seminars, which we had over 1,500 new people break the plane of the doors of our churches around the world. We were just very, very pleased in that it surpassed a wish of 1,000, and we reached over 1,500 people that have come into our services for the Kingdom of God seminars. We're preparing now for the January 21st round two of this four-part series on the Kingdom of God, and of course people are signing up for that. We've had two ministers here, actually two right here, that have done the majority of the work with the new outlines for the Kingdom of God seminars. We've not wanted to have what we used to call lectionaries, you know, where this is what you have to say. Yet we wanted to have something that was consistent and something that would be a help to ministers and to present the subjects that regarding the Kingdom of God. And most ministers have been extremely happy with that. We've also added PowerPoint presentations, and some ministers are just ecstatic about PowerPoints. Others say, you know, real men don't use PowerPoints. You know, we have that, you know, extreme on that end. Jesus didn't use PowerPoints, so therefore, you know, they don't use PowerPoints either. But Randy Scriber in Phoenix has prepared some, and some have really, really appreciated being able to use that. Some ministers are more free flow in their presentations, and just they're not lend their presentations to PowerPoints. But we've been able to. We'll be sharing that this coming week, Peter. Should we?
Just waiting on one more file.
Okay, so we're going to roll out the two outlines for the two lectures and the PowerPoints. I know that Randy Scriber has one done, and maybe both of them done here very, very soon. And we'll make them available to our ministers as an aid. We certainly want to be a department that's focused on services. Now, we want to provide those services that help ministers do their work. Might mention, too, that the e-news has become a relied-on object or relied-upon service from our department. We just wanted to start out something in January, which we did, the 1st of January, of having the e-news come out as just a little bulletin from ministerial services just to inform people of what's happening, because the ministerial newsletter and journal came out too infrequently, and a lot of the news oftentimes was old. Then we'd be sending little piecemeal news to all ministers, to different groups, and we couldn't communicate as well. But the e-news has become the staple now that not only does ministerial services communicate with elders, ministers, elders' wives, deacons, deaconesses, leadership throughout the church, but also other departments. Peter always has something included. We try to get Aaron to comment about finances. Randy Stiver is a regular contributor. And we get up-to-date news, usually sometimes that day's news, out to everybody. And we send it out using a program called Constant Contact. We see who picks it up, and we see that just virtually everybody on the list checks into it within 24 hours. I mean, we have an amazing response to the e-news that's sent out usually Thursday or Friday morning. Some other things that Ministerial Services works with is Good Works and Youth Corps. We're revamping that and revitalizing it. We're having a teleconference this coming Monday to talk about our new projects. We wanted to start some hemispheral projects here in Guatemala, a vegetable growing program that some of our young people can go to, a youth camp in Latvia next summer. We have thoughts of having some activities in the Caribbean for children. In Kenya right now, there are three Australians with a youth corps that are right now in process of working with the Kenyan youth camp. And we're grateful to have not only Americans going to these places, but people from different countries interrelating with other countries, that being Australia with Kenya. We held the Camp Directors Conference November 7th through 9th. I was really impressed. My life has not been in the camp world. I've gone to winter camp twice as a worker, as a staff member, but I've not worked with the work that Darris and others have dedicated a lot of time and effort to. And I was just really impressed by the professionalism and the quality of and dedication of the camp directors, and also the fact that Steve Knutzman has just picked up and done a tremendous job in organizing it, keeping it going, and keeping it on track. But we had a wonderful conference. Darris McNeely gave a presentation about retaining our youth that was very well received. Feast of Tabernacles. We had Feast of Tabernacles with over 12,000 in attendance this past year, and we had 6 satellite sites. Last year was only, I believe, 2 or 3 that we had, but this year there was 6, and people are calling for more. We're concerned and also happy about the trend of people who have appreciated these sites, but we're also wanting to know what will the future of the big feast areas will be versus the smaller satellite sites. We are planning to hold a festival coordinators conference here at the home office, directed by Roy Holiday, February 7th and 8th. And I know that satellite sites will be a big, big topic of discussion. We had more ministers do more work this year at the feast. And one thing that we were just very pleased with is the quality of speaking at the feast overall, is that people that have not given sermonettes were giving sermonettes at the feast. People who were regular sermonette speakers were now giving sermons at the feast. And because they were moved up to more responsibility, they prepared diligently, and people were overall very, very pleased with the presentations at the Feast of Tabernacles. But if we get more sites, there's going to be just a more dilution of leadership and resources for speaking. But that's going to be on February 7th and 8th, and probably one of the most important festival coordinators conferences that we've had. Ministerial Services is also involved with several international areas, actually quite involved because we have managed our senior pastors, who are pastors over U.S. churches, who also manage areas around the world, such as John Elliott here in East Africa. We have Melvin Rhodes, who has almost the rest of the world, or anything that's British. I still have 3 areas that I'm technically a senior pastor over in Eastern Europe, Malawi, and Zambia, and others. We also have people that we directly oversee, such as Dan Porteous in New Zealand. He has moved there, but we're under the direct jurisdiction of the United States, not as a senior pastor, but as a pastor, although he'll have a lot of support from Australia, as Bill Bradford and perhaps others will be traveling to New Zealand to help them out. One area of special interest is Zambia. We had 171 people there for the feast. But one item of special interest is that 2 other groups in Zambia who had been part of us, who had broken away from us about 3 or 4 years ago, have now rejoined us. And now we have close to 300 people now in the church in Zambia. Jim Tuck is going over on December 25th. We'll spend a couple of weeks with Joan. And I have a whole list of assignments for him, to visit with these people and take care of a number of things. But we have up to 300 people on the books, so to speak. In Zambia, we had 171 people attending the Feast of Tabernacles. I'll save this for another session, but in January, we were down to about 0 as far as Zambia was concerned, and almost at a point of wondering whether we should even go there. And the church has been revitalized. We have congregations. People are coming back, and we are seeing the hand of God, who has blessed us, not without trials, but certainly has blessed us with our churches and our work in Zambia. We also have a very viable church in Malawi. Before, these areas were handled out of South Africa and overseen by their big brothers in South Africa, but since all the ministry left and we only have 1 elder in South Africa, we just simply cannot have them with their hands full with sending out the Good News magazine, with managing the churches to be able to care for Zambia and Malawi. So the people in Zambia and Malawi, which are 8,500 miles from here, are managed by us who, you know, oversee them. And in Malawi, currently we have no ministers. We have two relatively new deacons who are giving sermons and who care for those people. Oftentimes their sermons are, they listen to a DVD and they write it all down and then they basically say it again. Instead of playing a DVD, they just write it all out and then they present the material. But we have 135 people keep the Feast of Tabernacles in Malawi. We had David Mills go to Zambia and Shannon Lucas go to Malawi for the feast. They were both well received and they both gave very, very encouraging reports about the work. Okay, now moving on quickly here to area conferences, which you'll see on page 4. There's been a great desire for ministers to come together and to discuss areas of special need to do their jobs. One of the biggest questions groups of people who call me asking for advice are brand new pastors. And these are people who are professionals. They've been professionals in their job as engineers, city planners, accountants, and so forth, but that's not their job now. And what they're doing is counseling people for baptism, they're counseling married couples, they have all kinds of other things that, you know, they have questions about. And they ask, they said, well, I've been an elder for many years, and I gave sermons all the time, you know, about things that I like to speak about. But now I've got three churches, and I've got to speak every week in two churches, and I've got to have something as interesting and alert as something as exciting every week. You know, how do you guys do it? You know, how do you do it? You know, all that have done it. So they've had a lot of questions about content and material. Also, they said that when I was an elder, whenever I had a question I didn't want to answer, I said, well, you know, you've got to talk to the pastor about that. That was their standard answer. Now they're the pastor. You know, they can't, you know, slough it off to anybody else. And they say, I have this kind of a question, that kind of a question. So they wanted to have a discussion about, you know, how to counsel certain matters. They wanted to know about marriage and divorce. Some knew very, very little about what we actually teach and how it's practiced and how we handle that type of thing. Also, how do you manage your time? You know, how do you manage your time and preparing sermons, visiting, you know, how do you divide up your time, you know, how do you do those types of things. And I took all these questions that they had and made it into a conference dealing with relevant, practical things that ministers need to deal with on a day-to-day basis. So we had some very, very good discussions about this. One of the more popular sessions was Gary Antion's Counseling Resources, and we hope that he can go with us to Atlanta for that conference and present what he did. On the back page here, or on page 5, is a showing of the conference areas that we will have. They will not exactly follow the regions, because some of our regions are not really conducive to having one conference, because the East goes from Maine to New Mexico, you know, around the country. It's kind of hard to get everybody together from that area. But we have use software that designs conferences. You just throw into the pot all the personnel going to a conference, and you say we want 6 conferences, and it just divides it up. And we wanted to divide it up to where most could drive. And these are most drivable distances. The only ones who cannot drive are the ones that are circled, the ones that you see there in the Denver area. That's the only ones who will really have to fly to a conference, but most everybody else will be able to make it to one of the 6 conferences. The first one, which we had was a trial one, which is actually a 7th one, was here in Cincinnati. That was a few weeks ago. Then we're going to Atlanta over President's Day weekend, or over Martin Luther King's birthday in January. Then we're going to Pittsburgh in March. Then our other conferences will be in Albert Lea, Minnesota, Norman, Oklahoma. I'm not sure about Kennewick, Washington. Probably it'll be more like Portland and the Southwest. I don't know why he has Barstow here, but nobody wants to have a conference in Barstow. That's in the desert. Probably be Los Angeles, and probably be hosted by our luminaries here.
Mario and I were laughing when we...
saw Barstow. Well, maybe we should have it at Victorville.
Needles.
Needles is a good place.
People, okay.
Anyway, that's what the program told us where we should have the conference. Okay, and the very last thing is that we do need to have... We have had job descriptions for so many positions in the church, but we had no need for ministerial trainee because we had, you know, quite a few ministers. But now we are desiring to hire a few people that we feel will be potential ministers within a year or two, but we don't want them to be working as volunteers. We really feel like they have very strong ministerial potential, and we'd actually like to hire them. And we'd like to work with perhaps entities like ABC to hire them, but we cannot hire them as an assistant pastor because they're not a minister. So we would like the council to approve a new job description, which would be ministerial trainee assistant, which we used to have. And so what we basically did, Chris and I, is we took a look at what the assistant pastor's job description was, and we modified it with the shaded areas to include the component of ministerial training. And we would like for the council to look at this, and here we'll bring it up later, to approve the ministerial trainee assistant position. There's very little change here, as you see, but the component of training is there. The rest of it includes all the other things they have to do, like lift 25 pounds, you know, and that type of thing. Roy Holiday told me he was overqualified for that. He could actually lift 100 pounds. But all these very important qualifications are listed here.
Those are HR requirements.
Well, I know, yeah, I know. So we included that from before there. So that's the report. Are there any quick questions? I know we need to move on to Peter, but any questions about ministerial services? I'd like to thank the council for their support and guidance. I know that you have been most helpful in our ordination refinement process that we had, and Chris and I went through two or three iterations of modifying the forms to have more things that you want. But we try to be as responsive as we can. Feel free to call us, suggest things. The idea of even calling ourselves ministerial and member services was brought forth by the Council of Elders. We appreciated that. And any questions, please let us know.
I have a question.
Yes.
Gerald, does the council need to officially approve this? There's been no hand showing, or
I think they're going to bring it up later.
Now? We have two people we'd like to hire. Well, we have people we'd like to hire. But before we can hire them, we need to have this approved. But I thought
you'll do it later.
Right. Okay. But I wanted you to look at it, and I really ask you to please look at it. Like I said, everything in it is the same from what we have already approved as assistant pastor. The shaded areas only contain the areas that would be for ministerial training. Okay, Peter.